All scripture, every single word of scripture is inspired by God. And the margin of my Bible said it was breathed by God. And it is profitable. Now, if you knew of some business on earth that would really be profitable, a lot of people are making money on it, like people go to the stock market and they make a lot of money and the people go into it. If you really believe that a certain avenue was, there's no risk of failure. I mean, the stock market is tremendous risk of failure. But if there was some avenue of business where there was absolutely no risk of failure, but tremendous possibility of making profit, I think a lot of people would jump for it. And here it says, all scripture is profitable. I'm going to make profit from it. I can testify that. It's really changed my life. It's changed my family life. It's changed the way I brought up my children and many other things in my life. It's given me health. God's word. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness so that the man of God or the woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. In other words, God's word trains me to live the type of life I'm supposed to live on this earth. The way Adam and Eve did not live. So if we take God's word seriously like that, what do we do when we come across a verse that we can't understand? I get a picture of a farmer wanting to sow crop on his field and there are a lot of rocks and stones and he takes his plow and plows the field and supposing he comes across a rock there, does he just go around it? And if he goes around every rock that he finds, his field will be full of rocks. But a serious farmer would say, well, I don't care how big this rock is. I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to plow every part of this field. Now, a farmer has that much sense. But many Christians, most Christians I have met, they come across a difficult verse. They just go around it. And they leave it there. They read it another time and 5 years later, they just go around it. Never try to dig that out and say, what does that mean? And why doesn't the farmer do that? He's just too lazy. And why don't Christians seek to understand it? Why don't they go to somebody who knows God's word better and say, brother, can you please explain this to me? I've met serious Christians who come to me like that and I've taken sometimes a long time to explain verses to them. Or nowadays, they can go to the internet and search and find answers to some of these things, but they're too lazy. Now, if it was some area of their place of work, supposing it was computer science or electrical engineering, some area where they were finding difficulty now in their work and their progress in their profession was dependent on knowing that, oh boy, what a lot of time they would sit up all night on the internet trying to find out and reading books because they want to get through that. We have to face the fact that such people are more interested in their earthly life than their relationship with God. And God says, okay, you'll have everything you have on earth, but you'll have nothing with me. And that's the tragedy of most Christians. And there are very few pastors who challenge them in this area. Most Christians come to church just to listen to a message and go home. The pastor is there to do all the preaching and studying the word. And that's why their own lives are shallow. That's why they fight with their wives, get angry with their wives, and yell at their wives. They never seem to feel that there's any better life than that. I've seen believers who've been believers for 25 years, and they still get angry with their wives and husbands. What type of Christianity is that? I mean, if that was the Christianity offered me, I'd throw it in the garbage bin. I said, I don't want something like that. That leaves me defeated in my semen. And even after 25 years of reading it and struggling and going to church, if I'm still defeated, there's something wrong with this. I'd rather say there's something wrong with me. I have not taken God's word seriously. We take it much more seriously when a doctor says, you must take this treatment, you must take this pill 3 times every day for 1 week. And you must come back for a checkup after 1 month. Boy, how rigidly we do that. And if the sickness is serious, we'd go again and again for one whole year. Which proves one thing, we really care for our physical life. But if God says something like that, we take it lightly. which proves whatever you may say, however much you may say you're going to church and you think you're very spiritual, I want to say to you in Jesus' name, you're not spiritually minded at all. You're fooling yourself. When you realize that man is spirit, soul, and body, and soul means our mind, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says man is three parts, spirit, mind, and body. And the difference between an animal and a human being, an animal's got a body. An animal's got a mind too. You know that a dog's got a mind. It's intelligent. But the one thing an animal does not have is spirit. Spirit is that part of us which can contact God. And that's supposed to be more important. Just like we know that our mind is more important than our body, your spirit is more important than your mind. And if I don't give primary, if the order in my life is not spirit, mind, body, I change that to say, I think all of us would put our mind above our body, because otherwise we wouldn't be working. We just sit around lazily at home. We do put our mind above our body, but it's a question of whether we put our spirit above our mind. And I thought one reason why God made animals and man on the same day. If you read Genesis chapter 1, he made different things on different days. But when it came to animals and human beings, he created the fish on the fifth day. Okay. But animals, the animals on earth are a little more like us in terms of body and legs and hands and all compared to fish. When he made animals, he made them on the same day, on the sixth day. It's not only man that was made on the sixth day. Animals were made on the sixth day, but the animals were made in the first part of the sixth day. And man was created on the second part of the sixth day. And the difference was this. When God made animals, he said, just a word. And lions and elephants and all types of animals just came into being. With one word. But when it came to human beings, he didn't just say, let there be a man. No, it says, he took clay, the mud, and formed a body. Now, God doesn't have hands, but in some way he formed that body. Maybe with a spoken word, but he formed a body first, which had no mind and no spirit. It was worse than the animals he made, because the animals at least had a mind. This one, this creature was just a sculpture of clay. But then God did something which he never did for the animals. He breathed into that clay sculpture, and suddenly that sculpture got spirit and mind and became, the Bible says, a living soul. The soul is the mind. It became a living soul because his spirit came in there. Without his spirit, it would be just a soul. And God's desire was, this man was to live by his spirit, which is the most important part of him. If he only lived by his mind and body, animals live by their mind and body, and dogs and even snakes and all those, they use their mind and to find food and find some place where they can, even the birds, find some place where they can make a nest for their little ones. And you know how protective a female dog can be about her little ones. All that is there. But they have no connection with God. That's why you find every animal that I've ever seen, its head is always down, whether it's a dog or a cow or anyone. They're always looking down at the things of the earth. It's only man that's created to look up. You ever seen a dog looking up all the time? It's not created that way. It doesn't have a spirit. God doesn't figure into that animal's thinking. It's only its earthly needs. And God made animals and man on the same day with this one difference, that man was created to live by spirit in contact with God and to teach him one thing. When you stop living by your spirit, you will descend to the level of the animals. That's why he made them both on the same day. The animals, the first part, man in the second part to teach him, the moment you stop living by your spirit, you will descend to the level of the animals, and all that will be important to you will be your food, your health, your making money, and the 101 things on earth, your pleasure and sex and everything else that you enjoy. All of which God created, you can enjoy it all. But when spirit is not first, you've begun to descend to the level of the animals, and you can sit in a church and sing songs and imagine that you're a wonderful Christian. But you don't have a spiritually exciting life. That's why you have to seek for excitement in sex and movies and money and what money can buy and travel and seeing places. And there's nothing wrong in all that, provided that's not your primary source of excitement. Because dogs also would find, animals also would find some excitement in a lot of things on this earth. Now, I want to tell you the truth. I mean, I've seen Christians in many, many countries. I've traveled to many, many countries, and I've seen all types of Christians and all types of denominations. And I've found that this is a problem everywhere, even among those who feel that their doctrine is superior to somebody else's.